Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You have no doubt heard about the gloomy outlook for the Summer Olympic Games in Rio. Shoddy infrastructure, polluted waterways, crime, the Zika virus, and oh yes, Brazil's crippling recession and political turmoil. In Chicago, a city that has plenty of its own civic and fiscal troubles, many residents are relieved that their city lost an aggressive bid to house the 2016 Summer Games. Despite the snub, as Kathy Bergen and Stacey St. Clair reported for the Chicago Tribune, Chicago is still paying for that costly campaign. And Kathy Bergen's with us. Kathy, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. I'm glad to be here.
Now, not everybody is relieved. One person in particular, then-Mayor Richard Daley, who led the charge to raise private money for the Olympic bid. How much was raised?
Well, the bid itself cost about $75 million. That was covered with private funding. If the city had gone ahead and hosted the Olympics, they were estimating about $4.8 billion in cost. A lot of that raised privately, but there would be public money involved, too, for some land purchases, for security. It was kind of a mixture public-private.
Well, despite raising that much money back in 2008 for the bid, it turns out that there are some legacy expenses. What is the public on the hook for?
The way things went down, they ended up buying a parcel of land to build the Olympic Village. That was the idea, to lock that in, and it would help the bid. And it was a parcel that was in an area that was potentially could see some development in the future, but it has not gone that way. So the city now owns basically a huge empty parcel that they have not been able to attract developers to, and it's very costly, both for the interest payments and the principal that they'll pay eventually. So the tab for taxpayers is, unless they can sell this before they pay it off, is something like $140 million.
That sounds like a pretty expensive risk, and obviously from a very eager mayor who, to his credit, has pulled off some great things in Chicago. But is this a regular practice for cities trying to woo the Olympics to their town to pre-buy big parcels of land?
You know, I don't know how commonplace it is or isn't, but I know there is growing concern about the cost for cities to host the Olympics and how expensive it's become. And some of the Olympics in recent years have just been hugely expensive. I think something like $55 billion, if I'm remembering correctly, for Sochi. China was huge. London came in three or four times what they estimated. I think it was around $18 billion. So I think there is rising concern about how can cities afford to host an event like this.
In 2015, the city of Boston famously withdrew its bid for the 2024 Olympics. Mayor Marty Walsh said he refused to mortgage the city's future. You know, we've seen these photographs of desolate Olympic villages built for one-time Olympics, huge costs to maintain the infrastructures. Why do cities want to host the Olympics?
Well, I think it's oftentimes a city that wants to get a bigger profile internationally, and they have hopes that it'll draw tourists, that it'll draw business investment. And I think every now and then, you know, there's some sense that very occasionally it does work that way. Oftentimes people point to Barcelona as getting a boost from the Olympics. Sydney, Australia is sometimes mentioned. But frequently, I think the research shows it's not often the case. But I think that's the lure, is to try to make the city more visible as a place for investors and for visitors.
Let's get a glimpse of how visitors feel. This is Demaine March. He runs a Lakeshore bike. Now, this is right on Lakeshore Drive bike path, public bike path. He says 5,000 people a day use it during the week, 10,000 a day on the weekend. This video is produced by your colleague, Brian Casella. Here's just a clip.
The park is made for the people to use. It's free. No one would have been able to use it for 2 weeks, and we would have been displaced for two summers. We weren't prepared for it. And I love this city so much, but thank goodness we didn't get the games.
So that's just one glimpse from one person. Have you heard a lot of that kind of thing? It's a good thing. We've got enough to deal with ourselves.
You know, it's interesting. My colleague Stacey St. Clair and I, as we were reporting this, heard that over and over again, and we were surprised, especially in some neighborhoods on the south side where there were some large venues that were planned, and in neighborhoods where, there was a lot of projection that jobs would be created, that there'd be some help for neighborhoods that are struggling. But even in those areas, we were finding people kind of felt the city dodged a bullet, that we couldn't afford it right now, that there's big problems in the city with violence and with fiscal problems, and that this wasn't the time, and that it may not have projected the kind of positive image internationally that bid planners had hoped for.
Well, the renderings certainly did look absolutely gorgeous. What if Chicago had won the bid, though? You talked to several people who very much still thought that all that construction would have created jobs, brought in development money, vitality, especially in marginalized neighborhoods.
Right. There were people that did feel like it would be a big stimulus boost to certain neighborhoods that are really struggling right now. One of them was Terry Mazzani from the Chicago Community Trust that does a lot of philanthropic work here. And he did feel like it would have been an economic engine for neighborhoods on the south and west sides. So there is a sense that there was an opportunity missed and some jobs that we just won't see. And you're right, the venues were beautiful. You know, the lakefront would have been shown off to a large degree. There would have been all kinds of activity there. Some of the beautiful parks that were designed by Frederick Law Olmsted on our south side and west side would have, drawn people from all over the world. So I think there would have been, for sure, some excitement and some huge amount of activity and maybe some exposure and jobs in neighborhoods that really need it. I guess the sort of overarching question is, at what cost to the city, and, how many years would it take to pay it down and pay it back?
I've seen, and Kathy, you reported on this, proposals that the Olympics get sited the same place every 4 years, so the infrastructure is in continuous use. What do you think of that kind of proposal?
Well, I think it's an interesting one. It's an international event, so you may want more than one place the same every time, but conceivably maybe there's on different continents sort of a places that are used over and over again. It's a way to do it in a more fiscally conservative way, I guess, that's not going to put so much pressure on individual cities.
Do you think Chicagoans knew that even if they weren't going to pay for, billions of dollars for the Olympics, that they'd be paying for the proposal?
I think not so much. At the time, there was all this discussion about this particular property and how valuable it would be, and there was never going to be a cost to the city. The city had a 5-year window to try to sell that property. And the bid team sort of over and over again said there would be no problem. It's a very desirable piece of property. The Chicago would not be on the hook in any way, shape, or form. So I think a lot of people did not think there was a huge risk. There was a group here that opposed the bid and, that was vocal. So I think there was some sentiment that the city was sticking its neck out financially. But I don't think it was felt that way too broadly.
Kathy Bergen, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks, Virginia. It's nice to be here.
Kathy Bergen, she and Stacey St. Clair's article for the Chicago Tribune is called Chicago's Bid for 2016 Olympics Leaves Pricey Legacy 7 Years Later. You'll find a link where you can see renderings of the Olympic Village as proposed at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.